You're listening to the Children's Book Marketing Podcast, the podcast that teaches self-published children's book authors how to use branding to connect with readers, leverage content to sell more books, and grow a business that goes beyond the book. Being a children's book author means you've found a unique way to deliver messages with words and illustrations. But to thrive as an independent publisher, you'll need to master the art of attracting and engaging with readers so that you can sell more books. Join me to learn proven marketing strategies that can be implemented without hassle or complexity to take your publishing endeavors to new heights. I'm your host, Michaela Simone Benn, mompreneur marketing maven, fellow self-published children's book author and content creator. Are you ready to define success on your own terms? Then let's get to it. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Children's Book Marketing Podcast. I am your host, Michaela S. Benn, and I have someone very special joining me today. Now, the person who's joining me is someone who helps make me feel whenever we have conversations like I can fly. I've heard her speak live. We have had multiple conversations, and it is consistent. So the reason I asked her to come onto the podcast is to encourage you, to give you some awareness of how you can step outside of your comfort zone. And Miss Toni is her name. So Miss Toni Harris Taylor, could you please take a moment to introduce yourself to the listeners who are children's book authors who already have books and some who don't, but they absolutely need your magic.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Met you in a mastermind that we're both a part of, and your energy was very attractive. And I'm just grateful that we hopped on a call. And then I think we've done 3 or 4 calls now. And so I'm just grateful that you have invited me to share in your community. So my name's Toni Harris Taylor. I live in Houston, Texas, but I am from Cleveland, Ohio. So I am a homegirl to Michaela. I grew up in the neighboring suburb of Warrensville Heights, Ohio. Yes. But I moved to Houston when I was 15, just about to be 16, which is actually part of my story. And my businesses are Drastic Results. That's the word, Drastic Results, Marketing and Sales Coaching, and Network in Action, where I bring business owners together to teach them, to bring them together to collaborate, connect, and bring each other intentional referrals. At Drastic Results, I teach entrepreneurs, service-based entrepreneurs primarily, how to get known, get connected, and get paid. I'm an intercontinental speaker, an international coach, and I am a 12-time author.
Amazing. So, amazing. I feel like I should have something like applause show up in this dialogue, because among the things that you do that really attracted me to you, aside from the fact that we found out we're both from the suburbs outside of Cleveland, is that you just bring an understanding about people, what makes them tick, what makes them intrigued. And whatever you saw in me that just magnified our ability to see each other made me gravitate toward you as well. Now that you've written so many books and you've independently published and you've gone the walk of an author is something that is so paramount, even though it's not in the children's book genre. And the reason it's so important is because there are so many different ways to sell books and to become better known, and also to put your impact out to the right people. And you do that just in such an inspiring way. So I have to thank you for even saying, yes, come on in here. Happy to have you.
Well, so, you know, my first book was in 2011, and it was written out of pain. And I'm a very positive optimistic, not a negative energy person. I definitely had negative energy when I wrote that book. And I never really promoted it because after I reflected on it, I was like, I don't want the world to see this side of me. So the book is still out there though. And but the revelation in that process, it was, yeah, I'm not going to get rich selling books. I'm not going to get rich selling books. So the book ended up being a compliment to who I am and what I do versus leading with books. I use the books today as lead magnets to attract my ideal clients. And so I give away more books than I sell because it actually helps me to get my coaching clients. It helps me to get speaking opportunities. Do I sell books in the back of the room? I sure do. Do I sell them on Amazon? I sure do. But my primary reason is to amplify my message. And I want to encourage your readers or your listeners and your book writers to do the same. Use your book to amplify the bigger message. So as a children's book writer, you know, many of you are talking about children's self-esteem. You're talking about being proud of who you are, overcoming obstacles, and still giving children encouragement. But there's a whole platform in that.
Absolutely. And so
people should really, after they get the book done, create the platform, or know even before you start the book, what is the platform you're going to use it on to make the bigger money?
Mm-hmm. That's so important. And it's not even something that I did when I wrote the book initially on purpose. I did it because it made sense to me to make the concepts of the book come alive more so than just the illustrations. And for me, the motive was to amplify family time, which is not something that is a very popular topic, but it's absolutely needed. And so everything that's in the scope of getting parents and children to spend more time together is a direct reflection of what my life is like and how it can also be something that other families make time for. Maybe not in exactly the same way, but the merchandise supports it.
Sure.
The messaging supports it. Whenever I do a workshop or I go into the spaces that make it possible to extend those concepts beyond the scope of the book, they're all oriented towards spending more time together. And like, where do you get that from? Well, I'm a homeschool mom. So we do everything at home.
Right. And
I think it's important to really identify for children's book authors that it has to be about more than the book, because let's be real, Miss Tony, the margin on books isn't that great unless you direct purchase from a printer who is going to likely have a much more favorable price per book. You're not making a ton of money on Amazon if you sell the book. You're not making a ton of money on a lot of third-party distributor platforms either, but to the credit that the book opens the door a larger mission.
That's right.
That's something, whether it's a nonfiction or a children's book, that's something that we can all lean into. So that's why we talk about signature programs inside the Children's Book Marketing Academy. Creating one is a requirement.
Yeah, good. Very good.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to get the real money, so that you would be able to do a bigger message and a bigger movement as well.
Since you are a listener of the Children's Book Marketing Podcast, you know that it's strongly advised for you to start marketing your children's books before it's time for you to even print them. Part of the reason is to make sure that you can pre-sell your books to an audience of buyers. buyers who are ready to help you recover your investment in self-publishing, but also to prepare your community for what's to come with all of the wonderful things that they can do to support you and how your author journey can help them shape their direction of learning and entertaining and enriching their children. Well, if you're not sure what to do while you're still self-publishing, go get my free ebook. It's going to tell you the three stages of your children's book marketing launch, and you can begin doing these well before your book is ready for print. It's available on the website, childrensbookmarketing.co/resources. Now, back to the episode.
Yeah. Now, there's something that I do that I also do effortlessly, and this is where your area of expertise comes in. So I am a natural extrovert. Always have been. If I was ever shy, it was because it was an environment where most people would be hesitant, you know.
Right, right.
When you're in the third grade and they have you go read the announcements at church, everybody is a little timid about that. But other than that type of stage center, I've always been someone who's comfortable sparking up conversations and interacting with people that I may or may not know. And I found that one of the challenges that children's book authors have, those that I've coached, those that connect with me through DMs, they're like, well, how do I do these things that involve expanding my network and making it possible for people to understand what their signature program is or even communicate about it? So, of course, from a marketing perspective, I'll give some language and I give some direction around how best to position yourself. But that's from a sales standpoint. That doesn't touch the part about what's in here, what is causing the trepidation, what is worth addressing at a more developmental, personal level. And that's one of the reasons why I asked you to come and share, because you have something amazing that you tell introverts that I didn't even begin to understand how to paraphrase. Can you share what you say to people who don't feel confident enough to step outside of their own shell to sell?
Sure, absolutely. So I actually worked with a storytelling coach recently, and she helped me to understand exactly what you just talked about, why people are hesitant. So let's go back. Let's go there. In Cleveland, Ohio, in Warrensville, I went to Eastwood Elementary, and I was a ugly duckling. I know.
You know, I don't believe that, but I know okay. You
And even now, when I look at the pictures, I remember the time I felt that way. But I look at the pictures now and I'm like, oh, she was so cute. But at the time, I felt like I was an ugly duckling. Nobody liked me. Nobody wanted to be my friend. And I wanted so badly to fit in. And the popular girls finally got them to befriend me. I thought they came to my house. And I was about 11, so I was fifth or sixth grade. And they started cracking up laughing, pointing at me, laughing at me. What are y'all laughing at? They wouldn't stop laughing hysterically. When they got finished laughing, they told me they were laughing at me because my chest was flat as a board. I was mortified. I had tried so hard to want to fit in. I thought those girls liked me because they came to my house. And it turns out I became teased and shamed. And that actually stuck with me for a long time. Mm-hmm. So while I may appear to be this natural extrovert, I have this whole rejection fear and I don't fit in and will they like me? And today I'm 58 years old and I still walk into rooms of strangers feeling that way. I've learned how to manage it. I've learned how to overcome it. I hired a coach who helped me. But it was very much difficult for me, especially when I started networking professionally and selling my own thing, because mm-hmm. nobody wants to be told their baby's ugly. And so I get it. The point is this, that we have hesitation. And the bottom line is, and this is what I teach my clients, is it's not about you. Your business is not about you. The book you wrote is for the children that you are to touch, move, and inspire, to help the parents help the children, because the children don't want no money. So you got to appeal to the parents and the teachers who will buy your books. And if you make it all about you and your comfort zone, nothing's going to change. People you're meant to serve is not going to change, and you're not going to change. So we have to get out of our heads and get into our heart about getting our message heard into the world. And everybody who writes a book wants their message to be heard. It's a doggone shame when you write the book, you do what it takes, and then it's sitting on two or three shelves because your mama and your cousin bought it and nobody else bought it. Because you weren't thinking about you and not about the people you're supposed to be helping. Mostly introverts hire me because they know they want to get drastic. They know they have to get drastic. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step, is to get some help. Because if you leave it up to your own devices, you will talk yourself out of it every single time.
Oh, very good observation on talking yourself out of it. Because what that translates into for us is a ton of inventory sitting around not moving.
That's right.
And that turns into questions from people who want to know what happened. Why aren't you doing this thing that you were really excited about, really enthusiastic about 5 minutes ago, for about 10 minutes?
That's right.
And then suddenly it's not something they're talking about anymore. So you're right. Getting out of your own way.
Get out of your own way. But you need help with that. If you are a person who grew up being shut down, or, you know, you live in a state of fear, not faith, you need someone like Michaela who can push you out of your own way. You got to have a coach. You got to have somebody. Every time, even today, you and I met in a not cheap program.
No, ma'am, it was not.
We stretched to get into that program.
Yeah.
And I would do it again because it pushed me to do the work.
Yeah.
And if you don't invest at a level that's scary, you won't do the work and you won't show up in a way that, again, will transform not only you, but your audience.
Yeah. You know, that says a lot, because people sometimes look at me or you and they think that we came into this thing with what we have today. Right. And the truth is, and I'll happily be open about this, I'm a coach, but I have coaches.
Absolutely.
You're a coach, and you just mentioned that you have someone who you rely on for a specific aspect of improving your ability to serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can't expect to go further without making some investment in ourselves. And there was this term that I was introduced to back when I worked in the consumer goods world. I won't shout out the name of the company because I don't have a pet, but if you have a pet, they're one of the biggest players in that space for pet food and snack. They used to always talk about this skin in the game. And I remember thinking, what does that even really mean, having skin in the game? And I played sports. It never came up then. But I do recall having many instances on the volleyball court where I slipped, fell, dove, rolled, and ended up with a bruise of some sort because I was so invested in being defense. and I was really good at it. And I got better at it because I what? I went to volleyball camp. I went to Kent State.
That's right.
For volleyball camp in the 10th grade. And I went to the Ohio State University's volleyball camp when I was between junior and senior years. And there was a noticeable improvement in what I did. And I still got bruises. I still got injuries that I could tell stories about from these games, right, and these matches. Right. But if I had not gone through what was necessary to get the coaching, I wouldn't have gotten better. And we progressively improved from one year to the next. So by senior year, when we had gone from my freshman year, when we were 1-18, we won one game. And we only beat the worst team in the league.
Wow.
By senior year, we were 18-2. 18 wins, 2 losses, and they were only 2 tournament losses.
Wow.
But it makes a difference. So I've been ingrained, if you need to get better at something, ask who can help you.
That's right.
That's something that I know a lot of people have a difficult time with, but trust and believe that when you hear somebody who says they sell however many books they sell, they did not get that without guidance of some sort. They did not that simply because they put in the work. Somebody helped them understand who they were and why they have to be something more than they started out as in order to get to where they need to be. So,
absolutely. Preach, sister, preach.
We had to put that one in there.
Absolutely.
Whenever you say, you know, things that take you back to childhood, things that take you back to the stories that shaped us, it really requires some reflection. And I don't know how to make people do that, Miss Tony. I don't do that well with it. And because you're someone who excels in making it simple. Yeah. I wouldn't think of anybody else that I could ask to have this conversation with.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And I do. I'm really good at getting to the root for my clients. What's their story? How are we going to work your story into your marketing? When you are networking, how do you tell your story succinctly so people will be attracted to you? And I'm really great at helping my clients do that. Not so much for myself. Is why I had to have a storytelling coach to pull that story out of me.
Oh, well, I'm glad you identified that transparency, because knowing this, you're going to blow somebody's mind around this whole concept of networking, because you do it from where I stand, like you're the queen of it. And
well, I am the queen. But let me say this loud to your audience. My book on the shelf behind us is Show Up, Be Up, Follow Up to Blow Up. Show Up, Be Up, Follow Up to Blow Up. That's my formula for networking success. And I have to talk myself into showing up too. Last week, I went to a conference. I knew it was going to be thousands of people there. I don't do well in big rooms. I do not do well in big rooms. And so I had all this angst around going to this conference that I had already bought the airline ticket, hotel, and paid for the ticket. But I pushed ahead because I had already paid. And I knew that it would be valuable. And I knew I know how to make the most of it. When I tell you I had the best time, I met the best people.
Yeah.
And so here's the message for your audience, especially those who don't love to show up. Focus on one person at a time. In fact, the organization we met at, they have 1,000 people at their conference. That's too many people. That is too many. I cannot stand being in big rooms like that. I love small, intimate rooms. But that's where you and I met.
Yeah.
And we just focused on each other.
We did. The one that we met at, Miss Tony, was phenomenal for me. That particular event, and I'll tell you why. I don't have a problem being in large rooms. If I had my choice, it would be a smaller group, but I'll show up. And the question was posed, who wants to come up to the mic and introduce yourself and tell people why you're here at the conference?
I remember that.
And when I was fortunate enough to get in line and get to the microphone fast enough, I couldn't believe the response that I got before I turned around and went to my seat.
Yep.
The thing was, tell everybody why you're here. I say, hey, I'm Michaela. I'm the host of the Children's Book Marketing Podcast. I help children's book authors do this and this and this. And I'm looking for people who want to do X, who want to create these books, who want to bring to life these stories, and who want to impact me away by a brand around their book. And Miss Tony, before I turned around and got back to my seat, there were eight people, which for me, sitting right next to me or right behind me. And this was when we got a chance to really sit together. And I remember thinking, that was terrifying, the number of people, not the going to the microphone part. And let me make sure I follow up with all of these people. Some have since become clients. Some have since become people who listen to the podcast and can get what they need. But had I chosen to sit still and not speak up, none of them among this group of, like you said, 1,000 people, not one of them would have likely found me in this sea of individuals.
Right.
So I'm grateful that you said that.
Before we go on to the next subject, let me ask you one quick question. Have you learned anything yet during this podcast episode that you didn't know already? If that's the case, please do me a favor and go leave a review of the podcast. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can also leave a review on Spotify. Either way, I love your feedback, and I really want to know what you're taking away from listening to the Children's Book Marketing Podcast. And oh, by the way, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the podcast. That way, you're notified each time a new episode airs, and when it goes live, you will want to be the first to know. I really do appreciate you listening and tuning in. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Here's what I want to ask you. Why is network building so important? And I want this to hit for somebody who thinks, all I have to do is sell a children's book. I don't have to talk to other people about this.
So, you know the saying, the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child?
Yes, ma'am.
Which, by the way, we've gotten away from the village because people don't want nobody talking to their children or chastising their children. So we've gotten, and that's a good reason, because people can't be trusted these days. We just gotten away from it. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, it takes the village to raise a business.
It does.
You're not just an author. You are now launching a business. And so it takes a village to raise a business. It takes community. You think you can do it by yourself? You are sadly mistaken. So you know the term, Michaela, the good old boys.
Oh, yeah. I know the term. I know the people who belong to the club. Yes, ma'am.
We all do. They golf together, they hunt together, they fish together, they barbecue with their families together. And when the deals come, they know exactly who they're calling to share the deal with. Somehow, that got lost in translation with our community. Okay, yes, we've been hearing that Black people don't support Black people, and that Black people don't crab in the barrel mentality, that all that BS. White folks have the same problem. So it's not the norm. You want to surround yourself with people who got your back, who want to help you grow, who, you know, I'm a connector of people. So people who connect with me, I don't even have to really know them well. I'm like, you know, I know somebody you need to know. And I make connections for them because I know that being an entrepreneur is hard, and we need support. We can't do this on our own by ourselves. So we have to have community to help us. So it takes a village to raise a business. And once you release a book, you're in business.
Mm-hmm. You are definitely in business. It is beyond hobby when you make the distinction that you want to recover your investment in illustration and independently publishing and printing. It's beyond a hobby at that point. So you, whether you signed up for it or not.
But let me say this too. Here's the deal. You only got a few ways to promote your business. You've got cold calling, door knocking. You've got, and I'm Jehovah's Witness, I've been taught how to knock on doors by the best, and I'm not knocking on doors for me. You've got social media ads, which are expensive. You can't run social media ads to sell books. And then you have other people, word of mouth, network. That's what networking leads to, is more referrals, more connections, more collaborations, word of mouth, opening doors. You can set up a trade show booth, but that's networking too. And nothing worse than having a booth and you sitting behind a booth playing on your phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Waiting for people to approach you. Yeah. So I teach how to get out of your own way, how to show up, be up, follow up, so you can blow up your business and change people's lives.
Yes. And Ms. So Tony, we have to link that book in the show notes so that anybody who, aside from the title alone, has said everything that this woman is speaking of is in a language that I can finally understand, they need to get that book. So I will make sure we link to it in the show notes.
Do you know what should happen after you have finally completed the writing and publishing of your children's books? You should be able to get your books in front of the right readers, and you should be selling on multiple platforms so that you can have the greatest impact possible, which I would imagine is what you set out to do when you decided to become a children's book author. But is that happening for you? Are you reaching more readers consistently enough to feel confident about the impact that you're having? Are you reaching enough of the people who you can partner with that can ultimately get your books in the hands of the people that support the programs that they've designed for children and for kids of all ages? If you're not, you may need to take my free mini course. It will teach you how exactly to generate direct sales from retailers, program partners that have extensive audiences of your ideal reader, and how you can sell more books from your website. If selling is something that hasn't come easy to you and you know your children's books need to be in the hands of more people, take the free mini course. It's available right now at childrensbookmarketing.co/resources. It won't be free forever, so don't wait too late to make it happen. Now, back to this episode.
You touched on something that's really important for children's book authors. And I recently went to an event the same week of the more recent event for the group where we met. These events were back to back. So I was on full networking. This was, Michaela wants to talk to this distinct number of people, and I can't leave until the people that I have identified up front have had some dialogue with me and we got a chance to do what we needed to do. Now, one of the people that was there at the event, which was a conference for homeschoolers, was a children's book author. One who I've been acquainted with for a couple of years. And what she shared was that she had a lot more of these networking events, these exhibitor events. She was set up to be an exhibitor, but she wasn't there to network, not necessarily, or so it didn't seem to her. So I want to ask if you can shed some light on what being in position as a vendor actually does for you, so that for people who are considering making that a large part of their strategy for selling books, they understand where they're leaving opportunities on the table, no pun intended.
Yes. When you go to vend at a show, I know you want to sell books. again, I got to reemphasize, you're not going to get rich selling books, period. Your profits are too low. So what you're doing is fishing for more relationships. And I encourage all of you to be speakers, speak on what your book is about, speak on the process of writing the book. You can become a coach on the process of writing books, but it's an opportunity to build your email list. Most miss that big time. So you build your email list, find a way to collect people's information, give something away, get people on your calendar on the spot to talk more about the next vendor event, a networking event, a speaking opportunity. Who do they know in the school market? Who do they know that have parent teacher groups? So really, it's about getting on the other side of the person that's standing at your table. You're going to sell them one book, make $20, and then they're off to their life unless you've collected their information. Do not let that opportunity pass by. You need to collect their information. You need to nurture the relationship. And you need to be asking for something more than just buy my book.
Mm-hmm. Very, very insightful. You know, this was probably the first event that I attended where I hardly attended the actual event that I showed up for, but I stayed in the vendor area the entire time, establishing connections with people.
Well, let me say something about that.
Yes, ma'am.
The best connections when you are vending are the other vendors. They know when the next event is. They know the past events. They know the organizers of other events. They probably can open doors for you to speaking opportunities. The best connections are the other vendors.
Yes. Even though I wasn't one of the vendors, I honestly felt, and I want to put this out there as a contrarian perspective of what is involved with attending events as an exhibitor, even if you're not an exhibitor, and you're in the opportunity space to go someplace where your community is meeting for a conference or for an event. Not being a vendor can be a benefit to you because that gives you more flexibility to walk around and talk to people. And talking to people is what, from this particular event, resulted in a new client, me having a chance to talk to the keynote speaker, and her providing a review for my children's book. She gave everybody books. It was a part of her speaking deal. She gave me one. I want her to have one of mine. It resulted in a podcast interview swap with somebody else who was there as a podcaster. It resulted in sales of my pencils because the little Mr. Fix-It brand has personalized pencils. It resulted in me being able to connect one of my clients to the same person who's buying the pencils because the book that my client wrote fits the scope of what this exhibitor provides. Mm-hmm. It resulted in probably three more things that I'm not thinking about off the top of my head. But I felt like had I chosen to be a vendor at this specific event, I would have been restricting myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you go to events, if you're a vendor, connect with the, even if you're not a vendor, connect with the vendors. Here's the other thing about connecting with vendors. Is they're always looking for the next opportunity to vend, mm-hmm. and they're willing to spend money.
Yeah, they are, because they want to promote their businesses. They want to collaborate. They want to partner.
And if they spent money to be at the event you're at, they'll spend money to be maybe at your event.
Very good point. Very good point. So that speaks to, and this is where I'm going to throw an idea out here in case somebody wants to know, like, what would that even look like? Let's say you're taking the suggestion that Ms. Tony provides to make something bigger than the book come into the space of what you do. And that involves you having a collaborative of people who all believe that what is the main theme in your story, let's call it confidence, what is the main theme in the confidence scope is something that they are also very dedicated to promoting among the children and families that they serve. So let's say you have let's just make it a roundtable discussion. We don't even have to leave the house for this. But you've interacted with these individuals in whatever networking space that you visited. And in that networking space, you pick up people who want to talk about competence builders for kids. Mm-hmm, you're having a roundtable discussion with people who might have different perspectives, different walks of life that they lend their ideas from. Somebody who might not connect with you and your perspectives might connect with them. And then you've got this raised consciousness of what tools parents can use or educators can use to help instill confidence in kids. And I know that's a really impromptu, off the top of my head, example, but that's what it could be. So when Ms. Tony is saying you've got opportunities to collaborate with people, we're not just talking about we're going to do a book promotion and people follow you on Instagram and then they go to another page in the most complicated way. We're talking about assembling like-minded individuals who have different perspectives that can help fortify the messages and the mission that you're on.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So finding that next collaborative partner is key. Networking, you know, so many people, and a lot of times when people are in their head about it, Michaela, it's because they're trying to sell something. Get up, release that, let it go. Release that. Just make connections. The sales do come. But if you appear to be desperate and salesy, sleazy and slimy, you're also not going to get the collaboration. You're not going to get future connections. You're also not going to get the sale. So relax and just get to know people.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes. Now, you have the key to the networking community. And before we go, I want to ask if you can share how you bring people together and where some of the listeners in the Children's Book Marketing Podcast community can go to learn more about how they can come into some of these networks that you facilitate, which is done in such a broad way. It's the kind of thing where you never know who you're going to meet. What is it? Yeah. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. So I own a networking franchise, which I had no idea that even existed, but I own a networking franchise. I run a virtual group. We meet the second Wednesday of the month, and you're welcome to visit us. You can go to, just go to my website, TonyHarrisTaylor.com, and from there you should see NIA, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to my networking group site. Then my website also tells you all about my coaching services, and then if you want to meet with me, you can go to MeetWithTonyHarrisTaylor.com. And schedule a one-to-one and let's just talk and see how I can help you to get out of your own way, get out of your head, get into your heart, and get your butt out there to serve your audience.
Yes, yes, that is exactly what is needed for a lot of people to come from behind the shadows and to really confidently, prominently represent exactly what they intended to do, which is how they want to have an impact. So thank you for that. I'll make sure everything that you shared is listed in the show notes. So anybody who listens to the podcast episode can find it. Now, Ms. Tony, thank you. Thank you so much for being generous with your gift and for sharing with us in the way that you have.
I love that conversation. And I don't want anybody to stifle their own self out of fear that ain't even reality, not even gonna happen anyway. And I said ain't on purpose because it's not even reality. You done made up all this stuff in your head like I did as a child.
Yeah,
I thought nobody would like me. I thought nobody wanted to be my friend. And it's interesting what we cook up. Don't do that. I didn't mention there in the evening. So if you're working author, it's at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 Central. So I made it so that working entrepreneurs could join in.
Wonderful. And many of the listeners in this community are. They're working entrepreneurs and parents, and that time works well. So thank you for that as well.
You're welcome.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now.